Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
You know, I gotta wonder what kind of working relationship he'd have with Satan.
It's Mike Shope.
I've often wondered that. Like, he, they, I don't know what his pronouns are, or their pronouns. Anyway, Satan.
And the Bulldog.
Maybe, what's the upside of doing well?
Well, maybe they're too busy making everyone else's life hell.
Oh, boy.
And you might just be able to do your own thing if you're partnered with Satan.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They're too busy, you know, making Scott Norwood miss field goals.
Oh, come on.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. What a great day already. Trista Crick, who is always so much fun, and now Travis Yost from TSN. Another great guest through the years. We have not had the pleasure of chatting with in a while. Or have you and Bulldog been talking privately, Travis? What is the story?
Constantly. He won't leave me alone. He's all up in my DMs, this Travis.
And we have all this spare time too. We just catch up daily, yeah.
Yes.
We compare cardio exercise routines. Yeah. Me on my bike, yeah, Travis with his
that's
running.
That's it.
Yeah. I fully understand not being in on that on the group chat. All right, Travis. Well, welcome to the finals, a rematch, great teams, and a great opener. What is there to say about Florida, Edmonton that hasn't maybe been said already or often enough?
Man, you know what it is? I'll say a couple things. Number one, not every championship rematch is something you necessarily want to see,
right.
But I actually think this is a pretty good one. It's hard to look back at where the playoffs started and not have these two teams as two of the five-ish most likely teams to appear in the Stanley Cup. That's number one. Number two, I think from like a matchup dynamic standpoint, it's fascinating because, you know, I have all the respect in the world for the Carolina Hurricanes, and I thought Dallas was a fantastic team, and neither one of them offered up much in the conference finals. Now, yes, you could re-simulate that series and maybe it's closer, but the sheer depth and capabilities of Florida down the lineup. I mean, I wrote this week about how unbelievable their middle six forward group is. It's one of the best middle six forward groups I've seen in some time in Florida. Against this absolute juggernaut, two-headed monster, that it seems impossible to keep McDavid and Draisaitl off a score sheet. It's kind of funny. Earlier, you know, about a month ago, I was catching flack, as usual, from Maple Leafs fans who didn't like how critical I was of their core forwards and specifically how frequently they disappear in the playoffs. And, you know, one of the common arguments I got is, well, it's so much harder to score in the playoffs. I'm like, not really. Not in the last 10, 15 years. No, it's not. You go out to Nikita Kucherov, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl. You go down and down the list. A lot of these guys score at or above their regular season rates. I am blown away at how dynamic they are. There's very little I could say that's refreshing or new in the McDavid-Draisaitl, how dominant they are as a tandem. But, man, like if you watch last night's game, like Florida looked fantastic through stretches. And still, there really is no answer when a team has probably the two best players in the world on the same team. I think this is going to be a great series. I think Florida has answers. I think they have a goaltending advantage, which kind of neutralizes some of it. But there was a reason this series was a pick'em. It wasn't because the talent was even on paper. It was because McDavid and Draisaitl, they are the ultimate erasers. I mean, you can run three lines. You can run a terrible third pairing. They are able to erase almost anything.
I think McDavid, I've been thinking about this in this way, Travis, and Mike, I haven't mentioned this to Mike yet, that McDavid is more unlike maybe any other superstar player. Maybe Mario is the only other one that might compare to me to the point I'm about to make, where someone who's barely ever, a very casual hockey fan, like knows about the sport but doesn't really follow it. I feel like most of the other superstars of the last 30, 40, 50 years, you would turn on a game and they might just sort of blend in. Like they might score the goals, but like watching the game, you wouldn't immediately have it be apparent to you who the guy is, right? McDavid, the way he moves around the ice, the speed with which he attacks and handles the puck at the same time, I think that stands out more than maybe anyone I've ever watched play hockey.
I not only do I totally agree, I have struggled. I was actually asked this question a couple months ago. I think it was in Winnipeg radio. We were talking about the Oilers, and the only comparable player that I can come up with that has such a, first off, just an otherworldly talent, right? So you're talking maybe two handfuls of guys at best. First ballot generational Hall of Fame player. The only thing that you can even remotely denote on McDavid's record is that he hasn't won a cup yet, by the way, and the strong emphasis on yet. The only player that I can think of that I can draw a line and say these two guys, they connect in a way that makes sense to me, and it's going to sound funny, it's LeBron James. And it's when you watch LeBron in his prime, not only was he the most magnetic player on the court, whether he had the ball or whether he was spacing in the offensive zone or he was defending, your eyes were on him no matter what. Number one, that's number one. Number two, at any moment, he can break the game wide open. And number three, most importantly, the physical attribute sliders are just to 99. Now, with LeBron, it's a little more size, strength, speed, like this combo package of insanity. Mm-hmm. Whereas McDavid, it skews a little bit more towards speed and agility specifically. But it's not like he's a tiny guy either. I mean, right. He can play with real force. LeBron is the only player I can come up with where I can say, whether you're a casual fan or a hardcore hockey fan, I can say, the guy who McDavid most resembles is blank. For me, that's LeBron, which sounds crazy. But McDavid starts winning cups. I don't think that's going to sound crazy anymore.
I don't think it sounds crazy. We all know the difference between the two sports and how much less control the very best player on the ice has over a hockey game than the basketball comparison. Can I throw out one more name? I don't think it's better than these names, but when I close my eyes and think of a McDavid play, he's going end-to-end. He's going right through you. He's too fast for the defense to adjust, and it's over. And to me, like, there's a Lindros quality to that. But Lindros, you know, was huge and not the same quite skill level. But that's his play for me, is he's just going right up the middle, and you can't deal. So, you know, not quite on the same level.
Eric Lindros is a great one. Yeah, slightly bigger, no doubt. Played a little more physical. But, like, the way he could single-handedly dominate the flow of a game, I think that's one-to-one. I know this is also going to sound a little weird, but, like, if someone put Ilya Kovalchuk in a lab and said, actually, we're going to take your speed to 99 and then recreate you, that would be Ilya Kovalchuk would be another version of that. Kind of in the Lindros argument where it's like this guy, wherever he is on the ice, can go end-to-end at any point. There's nothing you can do. And Kovalchuk did that in his prime. Lindros made a career of it. Injuries obviously kind of broke down the back end of it. But I think the point is this that we're all saying, right? There really is no one-to-one clean comparable for this guy because he is that good. He is that dominant. I even watch him in comparison, and I say this with the utmost respect and deference to Leon Draisaitl, who I think is the second best player in the world. And I ask myself, how big of a talent gap is there between those two?
Yeah.
I don't think it's insignificant. I think McDavid is that much better than Draisaitl, which is an insane thing to say.
Yeah, right. I'll add to the insanity. Like, Draisaitl is more of an ordinary superstar. I feel like I've seen guys like Draisaitl, you know, throughout my life. McDavid, I just don't think there's ever been anyone like him.
I think the messaging too, and we've beaten the NHL up many times over. The league, I know Edmonton's kind of this niche market for, you know, Americans and, you know, U.S. hockey fans. It's kind of like this, this town in Alberta, you know, the city in Alberta that doesn't have a sports team other than a hockey team. Like, ESPN, TNT, the NHL should have this guy front and center 24/7, 365, the same way the NBA did it with LeBron and Curry, the same way the NFL does it with their superstars. I know it feels a little different because the NHL is not this type of league where it is so star-specific driven, but he really is a unicorn like this in all of the right ways. And to me, even when I have casual friends who just check in for the Stanley Cup for that matter, and I'm sure you guys saw it last night, whether it's your Twitter timeline, which, by the way, that was a fun read today. You check it out last night and you just see random like football personalities like, what is going on with this number 97? He's different.
I love with my daughter's teams and her tournaments, like if there's a 97, that's the number now. If there's a 97 on the other team,
look out for that person.
Look out, and they better live up to it. I mean, you can't just go pick 97 if you're not gonna if you're not capable of taking the game over. With Travis Yost from TSN here on WGR. Leaf fans getting into you, and they think you're from Toronto. You're supposed to be on their side, Travis. I'm sure that's still part of that that discourse. Anyway.
I get killed, man. I get killed. They say you know, first off, if I write anything positive about Toronto, and I will tell you, you can go read, you know, 12-year catalog now with TSN. I've got plenty of Austin Matthews, one of the greatest players in the world, blah, 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 type articles, and comparing his early, you know, mid-career trajectory to Ovechkin and the like. And, like, there's plenty of that out there. But if you ever point out that these guys are routinely and reliably playoff underperformers, it's like you said the worst thing on the planet. And the part I don't really understand is I have never made the, well, they lost, so it must be bad argument. It's like statistically, the guys at the top of the lineup that you see dominate every regular season, and it's incapable of slowing their offense down for long stretches during the regular season. They disappear about as reliably as you can find. I don't think it's James Harden NBA bad, but it's pretty close. I mean, and you can go one by one. I think the one guy who's kind of built his reputation back is a Will Nylander. Mm-hmm. But Mitch Marner has worn this for years. Probably reasonably so. John Tavares has come under a little bit of scrutiny recently. Obviously, the players, Kyle Dubas, the coaching staff changes, those guys directly wore it. But for some reason, when you bring Matthews into the fold, it's like, well, now it's a bridge too far. And it's like, I don't really think it is. Like, I think you have to have standards for these insanely good players. And when I watch McDavid or Barkov or Draisaitl and on and on and on, these guys routinely impress in the postseason, whether their team wins or loses. It's very hard to make an argument that these guys are the reason their team loses, whereas in the case of Toronto, it is a frequent argument that these big goal differentials that they build up over the regular season, oh, we won the division, blah, 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 they get into the playoffs and they're barely breaking even against first or second round competition. I mean, that is a fundamental change. And until the Maple Leafs figure that out, it's going to remain that way. And I do think this is going to be, finally, I think this is going to be the summer where you see real change. And I do think if I were a betting man come October, whatever opening night day is, I don't think Mitch Marner is on the Maple Leafs. I think this is a ripcord they're ready to pull now.
At this point, I'd be stunned if he were on the Maple Leafs.
Totally agree.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The way it reads, yeah.
When are any of these Sabres going to produce in the playoffs? You know, that's the thing. When is our team going to at least get that test? I don't know.
Well, if they finally do make it, then we could have maybe 14 years of needing to learn how to win in the playoffs as opposed to just learning how to win, you know, in general.
Yeah. So can I make a request? Can I make a placeholder request before I answer?
Please, go ahead.
When the Sabres make it, I'm 35, coming out 36 now. When the Sabres qualify for the playoffs, might be next year. I might be 72 years old. You're going to have me on before game one, round one, because we're going to be the excitement is going to be through the roof. Now I will answer your question, which is when are they going to break through? I'll tell you what they should not do, which I keep reading, and I don't know if it's agent driven or what. In the pantheon of really bad ideas, I think trading JJ Paterka really is up there. I mean, I understand that the Sabres need to consistently make, they're not alone, by the way. There are teams in this kind of like the treadmill of mediocrity where, you know, whether you're in this lengthy drought or not, you know the team isn't playoff ready yet. So you feel like you have to tinker, you feel like you have to invest. I think that's the right thing for any front office. But some ideas are just bad. And I can't for the life of me understand what a JJ Paterka trade does for this organization. Like, who is the player they're getting that improves this team when you trade Paterka? I mean, if on a rate basis, if you looked at Paterka's production relative to any of his forward peers over the last 2-3 years, he's in the top third percentile in the entire league. And to me, the question you typically ask in those scenarios is, how do we get this guy more ice time, and how do we get him better line mates, and how do we find the perfect fit for him? Not who can we trade him for, because it's like, okay. And by the way, Dallas is having a similar conversation. I'd say that's a little more cap specific, but like, okay, you're trading Jason Robertson. What are you getting, right? And it's like, I don't really know how this is advancing the team. And it's very hard to make a player for player, not impossible, we've seen it, but it's very hard to make a true player for player trade and net better improve your team unless you really have identified some sort of inefficiency in your lineup or you think the player across the aisle is being undervalued. It just seems like an idea that's out there, and maybe the agent wants it, maybe the player even wants it, but I don't understand how they improve by trading.
Man, that's such a great point. The Sabres did Mittelstadt for Byram the year before last, and I mean, respectfully, they gave themselves so much credit for that, and they got some credit for that, but I think it's an example of what you just said. Like, well, we might be a little forward-heavy, defense-light, but neither guy ends up helping you. I don't know. Not everybody would say that about Byram, and I'm terrified they'll sign him. But
By the way, who's the other name in all these trade discussions right now? If it's not Peterka, it's Bowen Byram. Byram, I mean, I saw last week two different reports that his name is at least out there on the trade block.
Good.
So how much credit do you really get for a swap that lasted 18 months?
Right. Mittelstadt's gone, too.
Right, to Boston.
Yes.
Travis, on that, it's very hard for me. This is the drought and the reputation of the organization and the general manager being retained for going into a sixth season despite absolutely no success whatsoever of any kind. I feel like any guy that they want to trade, I guess that the speculation comes from inside the house. That because Adams suspects or believes, has been told directly by the player or his agent, I don't want to be a part of this. I'm not signing a 7-year deal with you. I want to go somewhere where you can win the Stanley Cup, whether there's palm trees and taxes or not. And so that's what I think. Like Byram, when asked about wanting to be a part of the future here, sounded about as noncommittal as you can possibly sound. I haven't heard from Peterka on the issue, but my guess is that is what is behind it.
I think that's Occam's razor, which sucks. Mm-hmm. But and by the way, I'll say two things here. One, the Sabres aren't alone in this. Go read some Brock Besser quotes in Vancouver and see how that exit went. And it's like, Vancouver's letting a really good, second line forward literally walk because of the mismanagement and the inability to develop a contender and everything else that was going on in Vancouver. But it's no different in Buffalo. And I know this is the feedback loop from hell, but until the team starts winning, they are going to continue dealing with this problem. And you saw it with the Bills. That no free agent ever wanted to really sign with the Bills, not a high-end one, unless the money was incredible. And when the money gets too incredible, the team doesn't want to do it. And you really need some sort of franchise game changer. The thing that bothers me about the Sabres, though, and we've talked about this for, it feels like almost 2 years, you could put on any Sabres game over the last 2 years and watch them play extremely competitive hockey, up-tempo, fast-paced, especially 5-on-5. And then you look at the aggregate results and you're like, this is extremely unimpressive. I'm glad you said it. I was surprised that they are letting the front office continue at this point. Some research I've done, actually plenty I've done as I age now, I have completely memory-holed and forgot. But one thing I will never forget is most teams are out of a real rebuild I call it at least a bottom five finish in a regular season, followed by what you did over the next N number of seasons. Teams that bottom out like that, by and large, have already returned to the playoffs by year four. And I think it was like 80 to 85% of these teams return to the playoffs by year five. Here we are in year infinity with the Sabres, and certainly year six under this front office's watch. To me, if you're an owner and you're not aware of how long rebuilds should take, you're being sold a song. And by the way, we kind of saw that, you look in the division. We talked about this team as a comparable for several years now. The Senators were a 7-year rebuild. It was painful. It was clear the front office, despite acquiring valuable, soon-to-be impact prospects, and like you could see what they were building in the covers, and you could see the talent coming through, and they finally broke through this year. But you never had any confidence in the prior general manager, none whatsoever. And eventually he was fired. And I do wonder why that wasn't the case this summer, but it sounds like they're going to run it back.
Did some quick math. Travis mentioned his age. So he was 17, or maybe had just turned 18, when the Sabres last won a round. That would have been in the 07 playoffs, when I was 35, which is Travis's current age.
I was getting ready to ship off to college, so that is correct. And I may or may not have remembered those playoffs, by the way, for any number of reasons.
Well, listen, anytime you want a refresher, that's all we know about.
Right.
Don't ask me what happened in the last decade, but I'll tell you 2007 up and down.
I tell everyone I know, the WGR guys can break down the 2006-07 Stanley Cup playoffs like no other group can.
I think I could probably tell you every final score of every one of those games, both years. I think I probably could. But let's not do that. Travis, just before you go, a quick Bills thought. I feel like there are fair, critical-type questions about their build, but all of them just get smacked down by what happened last year, unless you want to take it into the singular sample of the playoffs or the fourth quarter of the Kansas City game or something. But a lot of run, again, in here with wide receiver and overall offensive talent that just is sort of like maybe by some laughed at because of, you know, last year's offensive and team success.
I haven't been on yet to ask you guys. I know you guys are just adjacent. I wish I was on a little closer to ask you why didn't they go receiver at the draft. I will say, like, I actually thought that was a really good, like, typical, like, team that's won all the time. Like, you're arguing at the margins. And I by the way, I thought Jeremy and those guys made a fair point. Like, if you ask me as just a fan on the sidelines, right, what is the area of concern? It's like, if Keon Coleman doesn't take a step forward this year, it's not that I don't like their wide receivers, and it's not that I don't think they can score a ton of points. But the argument that Bean really typically made was basically like, we're set up so that it's not a need. It's a nice to have. I mean, I'm really stretching it, but I don't necessarily know if that's true. I mean, his point is totally valid that they were a scoring machine, and almost all of it is, you know, born from the quarterback on down. But you saw a couple games last year where they could, you don't have it's a standard X receiver in the lineup. And if Keon Coleman doesn't become that guy and he's just a guy out there, I still think they're a little thin at receiver, like in terms of like the personnel they may need. But I think like you look around the rest of the wide receiver room and you're like, yeah, there's plenty of talent here. We have a humanoid at quarterback. Like, we can make this work. I will tell you this. I was not opposed to their very draft heavy, very we're going to get heavy in the box and attack the quarterback style at the draft. Whether that was, hey, we went after BPAs or this was a need or a combination of the two, the part of that team that always gave me the most heartburn, and I think has been true for 2-3 years now, is whenever they play a high end team, the question of where did the pass rush go was common question, right? And obviously the Von Miller deal didn't really work out. And they have talent on the defensive line, but like I loved going aggressive and going after and getting TJ Sanders. I love them filling the cornerback need in the first round. I think they had to address the defense. So I thought they did a great job at the draft. I think the wide receiver piece is the only part that gives me a little heartburn. But, you know, to Bean's credit, in his fairness, this is earned equity. His point is totally valid. The offense can score. They've shown they can score. They've never really had a problem scoring. You just would really hope that either Coleman or especially Kincaid takes a big step forward this year. So we will find out about that.
Travis, so great to talk to you again. Thanks so much.
Take care, guys.
Travis Yost, TSN, happens to be a Bills fan. He's not from Toronto.
No.
Which, you know, you people have overcome that. 803-0550. Want to piggyback on some of what Travis had to say on the Bills, or even Connor McDavid. I mean, in its own way, McDavid is kind of depressing because of how close the Sabres were, but it's also so long ago. I don't know. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. We'll be right back. This is WGR.
Here's McDavid. Out for Nugent Hopkins. Out of the point, Bouchard. Nugent Hopkins with it. Here's McDavid.
Kenny Albert, TNT, Edmonton 4, Florida 3, Draisaitl, 31 seconds left in overtime, and that comes on the heels of a dreaded delay of game, puck over the glass penalty by Florida's Nosek about a minute prior. Embarrassingly, I must tell you, a coworker and I were just walking around the office, and he said, "What did you think of the game last night?" I said, "I didn't see it.
I don't have the channel.
I don't have TNT." He's like, "Oh." I think he was processing, like, you don't have...
How do you... What? Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to see the finals, I guess. I just can't handle any more of these streams. Like,
yeah.
And TNT has the French Open, which I would like to be watching, too. So I'm not willing to juggle, cancel yeah. one, sign up here, then cancel that, then sign up, go back there. I just will not.
Yeah, it's I enough. Did. I did that last year for the playoffs because of TNT. I had YouTube TV, which has that channel, but doesn't have the Sabres on MSG, which is why I have Fubo as my main streamer. But since then, because our friend Nick Bakay had a show on Max/HBO, which is now rebranding itself back to HBO Max, I think. So yay. That'll surely end the confusion about what to call it, I'll bet. I got that, and I've kept it, and that's how I'm getting the hockey. So I'm justifying keeping another app that's, I don't even know, somewhere between $10 and $20. I don't think it's more than $20. It's definitely not more than $20 a month, but it's probably more than $10. I don't even know for sure. You know, because who cares about money when you're working in AM radio in Buffalo? I'm justifying keeping that subscription because I can get the hockey. But, you know, that'll end in another week. So I don't know what I'll do.
Yep.
Maybe I'll bail.
Sal's going to join us at 5.
Great.
Can I tell you my idea last night when I wasn't watching the Stanley Cup Finals and I was watching The Dish with Kish and then eventually Super Bowl VII?
You can, just real quick. TNT was really aggravating me earlier. First round of the playoffs, they didn't have broadcast crews in Canadian buildings. And I just thought that was like just so embarrassing and lazy. It maybe the very day that I went off on it finally on the air, that evening, Darren Pang and whoever, they were there. Like Darren Pang was between the benches in Winnipeg or somewhere anyway. So they stopped. I don't think it was because I was yelling about it, obviously.
Sure it wasn't.
But they changed. Me too. So that said, the coverage, they are obliterating ESPN.
Oh yeah,
and that's not just like I like Sean. My favorite crew doing a game would be McDonough and Ray Ferraro, and they're ESPN. But everything else around it, like Kenny Albert's excellent. I don't have much time for Ed Olchuk really. I like Brian Boucher. I was relieved when the game started. Like as long as you keep Darren Pang out of my hair, but there he is, like with a report from the Zamboni entrance or something. Like oh my god, he makes me insane. Oh, but overall, the production, the pregame, the intro last night was just tremendous. I think they're doing a really good job with hockey, Turner. I really like what they're doing, how it all Great. Looks and sounds.
So, I wish them well.
All right, what was your idea?
Keep telling me about it.
Right. Sorry, it was an ad for you to make sure you find your way to TNT at some point. No.
I watched like 5 things, and 2 of them I can't get on my main service. Why don't I just replace it? I get frustrated by it all so easily.
Yeah.
I feel like I cannot win the war, you know?
Just, right.
It's just going to be, like I said, I'll add something and then that'll go away and I'll just I just don't have the energy, I think, to sort of keep on the front of my feet when it comes to this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I just am going to drown in it.
Yeah, I am really bad at adding and deleting and playing that game. I just don't. I don't keep after it at all. So I totally get that. I did not. In fact, it may have taken me like a week or two after the playoffs ended last year to remember. Oh, I got to cancel that YouTube thing. Like I don't need that anymore. That's $70 a month or something. Like get out of here with that.
Last night, I had enough time. I know I did a draft late last night. It was probably around then 10-11 o'clock. Where I started my notes for today, which I usually, like 4 to 5 days, I will not do that until the day of. But last night, because of this one idea, I had to go ahead and make a 6/5/25 document. Because, and I wish I could remember why I had the thought, if there was some news about him. There was news about him today, and it wasn't out last night. Anthony Richardson is going to be out, Indianapolis quarterback, through into training camp. The coach hopes to have him back for training camp. because of a shoulder injury. This is a shoulder that shut down his season 2 years ago very suddenly. Well, I guess that's what's going to happen, right? But it was a game where he had scored a couple of rushing touchdowns against the Texans, I believe. And then maybe even on the second one of those plays, he went down and, you know, Richardson, like, out for the year. Rookie, he was showing some promise, needed a lot of work, raw, right? But out for the year. AC joint, just like a huge bummer. Now he's got an injury to the same shoulder. One of my co-hosts on ADP Chasing, Jacob Sanderson, is a Colts fan. And he has been, you know, these guys have takes. He has been strong since whenever they signed Daniel Jones, months, that Daniel Jones would start week one. Mm-hmm. Like, they are, and this is a guy who's listening to every press conference, consuming all the content. Like, I'm telling you, the Richardson thing is over. They're going to turn to Daniel Jones. Now, we don't know if he would have been right, but he had convinced me.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it was because in this draft, I've been drafting Daniel Jones, he goes like, after all the starters go, people just don't even look at quarterback anymore. And like, well, this guy's probably, I feel like Jacob's probably right. He's going to start week one. Now, almost definitely he is. One of the key words in the coach comments has been consistency. They've got a competition that they set up there, and they want to see consistency. Well, Anthony Richardson is not going to afford, he is not going to impress in that area. What he is going to give you is the chance for real upside, and he's also a huge organizational investment. Consistency is not it. I made a special, you know, case of getting the sheet ready for today that the Bills should trade for Anthony Richardson. Now, he has a shoulder injury, and I have no idea, like, what would a trade for him be? The Niners and Trey Lance, who was a high pick, similar, they got to a point where they were out. And that's after Brock Purdy showed up as the very last pick of his draft and did well. And so they traded Lance the following offseason to Dallas for a fourth-round pick. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, sunk costs. But we don't need him anymore. Purdy's going to be our guy. Goodbye. Now, this is Daniel Jones. But I wonder, and now there's an injury, but I wonder if the Colts would want to move him. And if they do, it's cheap. And I just think, like, when the Bills played, you know what I'm going to say next, I think. When the Bills played Indianapolis last year, Joe Flacco got that game. Richardson was healthy. And they had third and one, fourth and one in that game. There were two or three plays where the Colts could not convert.
Never thought to use them.
They never put them in. Like, it's just insane that a team would be so stubborn or stupid to not use a guy like that in those situations. You know, it's not the tush push exactly, but it's almost, he's unstoppable. He's so big. You would just think you'd have a much better chance of converting those plays with Richardson. I just think some team could use him like that
and maybe
get more out of him and develop him.
That team being the Bills, I don't think is insane. Because we talked about it yesterday. It comes up every offseason at some point, and, you know, however much you want to invest in the conversation, that often depends on maybe the mood we're in and what sort of mood the fans are in and what kind of input we get. But limiting Josh Allen's running, either through a measured tactical decision, we want to have him do this less because he's getting older and we want him to have, you know, less wear and tear on his body and expose him to less injury or whatever, or it's just going to happen naturally as he, you know, it will at some point unless he's superhuman. I just don't expect him to be leaping over tall linebackers in a single bound 3 years from now anymore. I just don't think he'll be that player anymore. Richardson, I mean, It's a pretty long view, but he's a way to keep that part of your offense relatively intact. Now, you're losing, you know, the part of the brilliance of having a guy like Allen is you just never know when it's coming necessarily, although on third or fourth and one, it's pretty easy to diagnose when it's coming. And so if nothing less, you use the player for that. But having a runner as an option
as a backup quarterback isn't a terrible fit to me. The question I would want to know, and I can't possibly know this, I don't want to base my entire judgment on whether or not this is a good idea on him removing himself from the game last year because he was tired. Like, my overreaction to that is, how many other things does he not understand about the way football works? Like, is this just a guy that just doesn't get it on numerous levels, right? Maybe not just football. Is he just lacking for some sort of natural social interaction intelligence or something? I don't really need a guy like that on my team as a backup quarterback or really as holding water bottles, frankly. But if all of that is just a gross overreaction to a mistake that was embarrassing, and you should know better if you're going to play quarterback in high school or college and now in the NFL. But if those boxes could get checked in a way that, like, you could sign off on it, I wouldn't be opposed to it. But that's a big if to me. Like, I would need to know that this isn't just some lost sheep who's collecting a check.
Yeah. There would be a range of opinions on that, just like there was on the outside on what that play was, that decision was.
Yeah.
But, you know, Ross, maybe Eric Wood, like, Ross went in on him. Just football guys, they don't want to hear it. You take yourself out. And my thing the whole time was just stay down. You know?
Yeah.
Get up limping or something.
I'm definitely with the football guys. I mean, not that I needed to really clarify. I think you know that. Like, and I'm not always, but, like, in this case, I just, dude, you know, like, what? Well, so now, I mean, I think without the injury, he was still losing that job, like your friend was saying. And I feel like that all really started to unravel for him in that moment.
Yeah,
like,
maybe.
That is a damaging thing within a team framework. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if they'd like to move him. I mean, he's damaged now, so I doubt anything happens maybe until that's cleared up. So we'll see maybe later in the summer. But I'm not completely closed down to it because I loved the prospect. The athlete was very intriguing.
He's not really tradable now. That's a huge sell low with the injury.
Right.
The injury, it's a shoulder thing, like kind of like Watson, where it might make you wonder if he's going to make it physically. You can't just keep getting your passing arm shoulder injured and you just have it just go on like you were. Sal's coming up at 5. We might throw this at him. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. What a start today. We you won't guess it unless you were here. The Diamondbacks' comeback win over the Braves. That wasn't even complete when we started talking about that game. Nothing that incredible about it. Well, pretty incredible. It'll be one of the comebacks of the year in baseball. 7-run ninth to win 11-10. The Braves called up Craig Kimbrell, apparently, after the game because they're so distraught about their late inning relief.
I did something last night. I saw something incredible. I saw something that made enough of an impression on me last night on my way home that when I walked in the door, the first thing I did was get my iPad back. I had my iPad with me. I just quickly entered into the search bar, Chevy Blazer Star Trek Edition. I saw a car, it passed me, I was turning right.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And it came through the intersection, like across me, you know, going the same way I was turning to. That was such a color, a gold color that I had never seen. Like, it really stood out to me, this color of this car. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, that's really something. But I didn't notice anything else other than the color of the car. It went ahead. I turned right on red and caught up to it, in the next light. And I pull up next to this car, and it's got Star Trek insignias on it. Like, not anything, like, just like that you would look like it came from the manufacturer. Like, above the, between the rear window and the back window, the back, like the hatchback.
Okay, I could, right, believe that they would make that.
Yeah, I just, that, and then the back of it had the same, like, the Star Trek emblem, basically, mm-hmm, that they wear on the shirts, I guess, the logo.
Yes.
And I thought, and as the car pulled away, there was a vanity plate, a Star Trek vanity plate. Like, okay, but still, I thought, is there enough of a market? Would they have made 1,000 Chevy Blazer Star Trek editions?
I say yes.
It turns out no.
Oh.
Because Star Trek Chevy Blazer did not, there were no results.
So
what I did then was I Googled Chevy Blazer color choices.
Mm-hmm.
And this came right up. And on the search page were pictures of people in Star Trek shirts. And it matches the gold of the car. Like, so somebody out there that loves Star Trek a real, real lot, I think, saw the color of this car, thought it looked like the color of Kirk's shirt or someone
like
else.
A mustard.
Yeah, right. Like a mustard is perfect. And decided to just go to town.
Love
fully
it.
And turn it into a Star Trek. And it wasn't like, because people do that to customize their cars and just think like, oh my God, like, stop, somebody should have stopped you. It's too much. This was subtle enough. Like, the first time it passed me, I didn't even notice. But then I pulled up next to it, there were the logos, and I'm like, wow, that's really interesting. Did the manufacturer do that? No, these people, I think, did it themselves. But good job out there, Star Trek fans, driving that car, because you really nailed it. It was really well done.
It reminds me of my Tootsie Saturn.
Tootsie Saturn. I don't know about this, or should I?
No, you should not, because it's not true. I never
okay.
I never customized my first car to look like, to commemorate the classic epic Tootsie. I wish I had now, though. Sal next here on WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.